Coach, heard you say after the game that this took 5 years off of your life. Why was yesterday, what was so big about yesterday beyond just the comeback? What was special about that to you?
Oh, it was just a real competitive game, and just having all those possessions at the end of the game, you usually don't feel like you get that many chances, but it kind of worked out for us. That we got the ball, it was three times, it seemed like, right there at the end. Big drive, big catch. It's great, great win for the team.
You know, Bill, before we get to that drive, I mean, a lot of great things happened leading up to that. Earlier in the game, you were able to hold Jimmy Graham. Your team was able to hold him to zero catches. What was the approach with Graham? How did you view him? I know we've talked about Tony Gonzalez before, and you've called him a big receiver. Was that pretty much it with Jimmy Graham, big receiver, and we got to make sure we take him out of the game?
Oh, yeah, he had turned in some pretty close to historical numbers here the last month, whatever it's been. So, he's a featured guy, and we just tried to really get on all the receivers, trying to get tight coverage and make the throws contested. I thought Key was on him, which he was on him not all the time, but most of the time. He did a great job, really set the tone early on a couple of those slants that he was able to break up. And, I think that that was a guy that we knew was a big producer for him, and it looked like even from the beginning of the game that they were going to have to work to get him the ball. So I thought that was a good boost for our team to see the way that Key played him and how competitive we were going to be.
I know Graham's a big basketball fan and a former basketball player, so obviously his size, 6'6", 6'7", is a real problem for most teams to deal with. But is there anything else about his game that's a little underrated that is a challenge that you have to look out for?
His height is just his athleticism. I mean, makes a lot of plays where he goes up and gets the ball, kind of, out rebounds the defender for it. He's got good timing. And as you mentioned, his body and his height, he's able to position himself between the man and the ball where he can, snatch it. So I think he does a good job of that, using his size, using his body, and his athletic ability.
Do you coach Aqib Talib any differently heading into a matchup like that? I mean, he's accustomed to matching up with guys on the outside for the most part, faster wide receivers. You coach him differently, some different coaching points heading into a matchup with a big physical tight end like that?
I think it's definitely different for him playing as much in the inside part of the formation as he did. He's, Key plays a lot more, as we all know, on the perimeter. Not that he hasn't been inside before, but he spends more time on the perimeter as the outside guy than, playing in, where a tight end plays. And of course, when a tight end is in his conventional position, he's got a lot more options on his route, being right there in the middle of the field as far as going across inside or outside, as well as short and deep. But there's a lot more options when you start your route in the middle of the field than when you start it outside the numbers.
I want to ask you, we talked about the end of the game and all the possessions there. I just want to know what you were thinking when it was down 24 to – you guys were down 24 to 23. It's 4th and 6. You made a decision to go for it. Dobson had the ball in his hands and he dropped it. Why not punt there? What were you weighing in that situation?
I felt like we had a good play. Felt like we had something that we thought would be good in that situation, and it wasn't a whole lot of time left in the game. Felt like that would be, we need to move the ball down the field and get into scoring position, and felt like we were able to throw the ball and move it. But obviously, they did a good job and weren't able to convert there. Just try to be aggressive and pick it up and get into field goal range.
And risk reward is, okay, if we don't get it, we give up three here, or we give up a touchdown and it's still a one possession game. Is that the logic? Okay, the worst thing for us still is not terrible if we wind up getting the ball back.
Well, if we knew we weren't going to pick it up, we'd obviously be better off punting. We just felt like we had an opportunity to get it there, but You know, anytime it's a 1-point game, even if they score a touchdown, it still then becomes an 8-point game. You know, but keeps it within one score.
Bill Belichick with us, as he is every Monday here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI. We were talking about this. I mean, as you know, Bill, just a crazy day in Boston yesterday. The comeback that everybody witnesses at Foxborough, followed by the great comeback, and David Ortiz doing what he does last night at Fenway Park. You've been around clutch guys, and I'm not entirely sure what that phrase means, but guys who have come up in big spots, and Terry Francona used to say the game would slow down for them. When you watch Brady or other players like that, is there something you can identify in them that allows them to shine in those big moments?
Well, I think if you look at both those games yesterday, it was a lot more about the team than it was one guy, and there were a lot of key guys in both of those performances. I mean, it was a great win by the Red Sox last night, but it was a good performance by a lot of people. You know, guys getting on base. Obviously, there were three T's hitting the home run, but then you know, good base running and, you know, scoring in the ninth inning, good defense, good pitching, even when it was 5-0 to, you know, keep it there, keep it at 5-1 and get those outs and then and get the runs. So, same thing for us. It was big for us to play defense and get the ball back. Offensively, to be able to go down there and block the pass rush with our linemen and have the receivers get open and catch the ball and score. So it was really a real team effort. I don't think you just put it on one guy. It was, you know, teams responding to those situations and coming through as a complete unit. I felt like that's what we did yesterday. There are a lot of individual guys, obviously, that played well and were part of that, but it wasn't just one. It was, you know, collectively it was quite a large number in our group. I kind of felt the same way.
Did you watch the Red Sox game last night?
How could I not turn it off?
So what were you thinking, like, in the because we've been talking to people today, all right, fourth inning, fifth inning, sixth inning, oh, here we go again. They were one hit the night before and looked like Scherzer was shutting them down. What were you thinking, like, in the sixth or seventh inning?
Well, it didn't look like they were going to score, you know, score a lot there. But, you know, Tony La Russa, an old good friend of mine, when we sat down and talked many times, he's always told me that baseball is a lot different than football. You can't run the clock out. You got to actually get them out. So,
hey Bill, you
looked at me like, from what I saw, that was something that the Red Sox had done quite a few times this year. You know, it wasn't the first time they've had a game like that, but they're explosive. They can score in a hurry, and they've had a great bullpen, great pitching. So that was a heck of a win.
To come back to your game yesterday, you've matched wits with a lot of head coaches in your time. Obviously, what kind of challenges does Sean Payton and that offense present? Is it a fun battle to go up against somebody like him?
Well, no, I wouldn't call it fun. It's hard. You know, they have a lot of good players, so that's where it starts. They've got a good offensive line, really good quarterback. Then they have a lot of good skill players, the backs, the tight ends, the receivers, and it's a very well-designed offense that creates a lot of problems for you. And anybody who watched the game or, you know, was at the game, you could definitely see the amount of personnel substitutions that New Orleans used, where they would bring two, three, four, sometimes five different players on the field on every play, and you defensively you had to try to match those personnel groups. However, you're going to do it, whether you're going to change personnel or not, but you know your calls had to match the people that they put out there and the different combinations. They also moved them around, a lot of empty formations, one-back formations, two-back formations, tight ends split out, tight ends in close, you know, things that cause you adjustments on defense. And then their vertical passing game, which we saw elements of. They used to throw the ball, you know, horizontally, people spaced across the field. They have an excellent screen game, and a quarterback's mobile. And he scrambled for a key first down there in the fourth quarter. So you just have so many things to defend, so many players, so many different combinations of people and plays that it's just the volume and they execute them well. That all those things together make it hard.
Is the offense similar to one you've seen before?
Oh, I mean, we've seen elements of things like this before. We see a lot of teams that change personnel on a regular basis, but I'll just say these guys are, again, they have a lot of experience with it. They've been doing it for a number of years, so they have a good level of sophistication, and they have a lot of good players. So a lot of times you kind of like to see, if a team does a lot of substitutions, then sometimes they take players off the field that you're kind of happy to see go off because the guys that come on, maybe give them a different group, but they don't have the kind of skill level that, you really are as worried about as the guys they take off. But in New Orleans' case, I'd say when they bring guys on, you worry about the guys that are coming on. And doesn't matter who they take off, the guys that are coming on are, create potential mismatches as well. So that's, I think that's what makes it hard for them, or hard to play against them. It's just they have a lot of players and a lot of combinations. And just, everybody gets challenged. A lot of times you go into the passing game, worry about the receivers. But really, yesterday, it seemed like their attack on us was much more featured with their tight ends and backs. And that's challenging, as well as the receivers. But, we did a pretty good job on Meacham. Colston had, one catch and whatever it was. And of course, Graham didn't have any, so... But, they're still able to shift away from their receivers and their productivity in the passing game to moving it to the backs. So, not often you see a team as flexible and as efficient as they are.
Bill, since we talked to you last Monday, there have been quite a few stories out about Rob Gronkowski. One story says there's resentment in the locker room over the fact that he's not playing yet dominating in practice, according to the story. Another story, he's reluctant to go out there. He has some type of, maybe a trust issue with the medical staff and what they told him and the subsequent surgeries after his initial surgery. Is there anything new with this situation, or what is going on between Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots?
Well, Rob wasn't active yesterday, so really I think the story yesterday is the performance of the guys that did play and how well they played against the Saints. That's really it for me.
No tension between you guys and Rob Gronkowski or Rob Gronkowski and the medical staff?
Story yesterday is the game against the Saints.
I think the one last question people would have about him, and then we'll move on here, is just if he is not able to be active for a game, if he's not healthy enough for that, how is he able to practice and take contact in practice? How is that possible?
Well, the league has a system of reporting injuries and listing guys for games that we follow with every player on the roster, all 53 of them. So based on that, that's what we report. We follow their guidelines.
All right, Bill, it's time now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. The all-new Mercedes-Benz class has arrived. See them on the web at mbusa.com. This week's question comes from Bob in Braintree, obviously related to last night. He wants to know from you, what is the most memorable late game comeback that you've been a part of as a player or a coach?
Well, I've put the snow game up there, that's for sure. Being down in the fourth quarter by 10 to the Raiders. Coming back and tying that one and then winning overtime. I would certainly put that one up there, given the magnitude of the game. And we've had a lot of them around here, and fortunately we weren't down by a lot of points yesterday, but it was still a great comeback with the amount of time that was left. had a couple where we've been down by, you know, 10, 13 points and come back from those. So, you know, that took a lot of several possessions.
Well, Coach, we appreciate it. Appreciate your time today. Congrats on a nice win yesterday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Sounds good. All right. Have a good week.
All right. There you go. Okay.